In this podcast, I want to ponder the difference between a competitive perspective or attitude regarding our athletic process and a cooperative perspective regarding that process. Now, we have purposes for both of those. It's not necessarily one is right and one is wrong, but in different contexts, in different situations, the different attitudes can produce different results. Some of those more positive than others. Obviously, a lot of people think of training in order to achieve something. And achieve something means you are overcoming. You're overcoming a doubt about your abilities. You're overcoming a previous limitation in fitness or in speed or endurance or in attitude. Could be overcoming another opponent, somebody you've had a rivalry with, or wanting to prove something to others who've had an opinion of you that you wanted to change by this accomplishment. Obviously, you know, people in professional sports, they're out to win, which means someone else has to lose. It's a zero-sum situation. Somebody, only one person or one team gets to be on top and the others do not. So we all understand that, especially if we think of things in a progress of human development. Competition apparently was necessary. You know, humans were competing for resources. Organisms are competing for resources. The bacteria in our guts are competing for resources. You know, all sorts of competition around us. Survival of the fittest, da-da-da-da. There's a lot to be said for that. Sometimes people are well motivated, or they're motivated to do something they should do, but won't do it for themselves. They're motivated to do it by some external thing. They're competing against somebody. They're competing against themselves. They're trying to prove something. They're trying to beat someone. They're trying to increase their status in some way. So that can be helpful. It really is useful. Obviously, it was useful in the survival of human beings for centuries, millennia. But there's a point, or there's at least situations where having a competitive attitude is not so helpful to our health. As a matter of fact, in our modern world, we're not dying because animals are eating us and, you know, other foreign tribes are coming in and conquering us and killing us off. We're dying because we're taking on all of this stress, and the stress to go achieve more or do something or gain status, you know, all these things that are kind of abstract. Now, our sense of competition is artificial, really. I mean, think about it. What are sports? What is the purpose of sports anyways? You know, we see people making millions of dollars, or, you know, in these elite professional sports like football and basketball and baseball and such. And then there's other professional sports like, well, cycling and, well, now swimming can be professional and stuff, but they don't get paid very much, unfortunately. But nonetheless, they're competing and they're going hard and they're making really big sacrifices. I mean, really statistically, these people are damaging their bodies, and a lot of them are suffering long-term or permanent damage to their bodies in order at an early age to reach the top of a podium or to get onto the team or to get into the league or something, make those millions of dollars or get those endorsements and sponsorships. So it is in this modern world, it is a actual career path, and it's a way to make money early on in your life. It's just very few people get to the top to where they can actually do that. We don't see the hundreds and thousands of people who tried to, who made similar sacrifices but didn't win, and now all they have to show for it is a broken body and some experience, and they end up being coaches, right? Somewhere along the way in the lower ranks of their sport. So this competitiveness is helping us in one way, but hurting us in another. So I want to look at the cooperative side, because we're looking at our bodies as something that we're unified with. The mind and the body is unified. But if this competitive mindset is carried too far, a lot of people start to view their body as an opponent, as a slave, as something they need to push and force and hammer and coerce, and they're acting in opposition to it, as if the body is stupid and lazy and afraid, and the mind is somehow better, bigger, badder, and they've got to make it do what it doesn't want to do. I want to challenge that, because I don't sense that that has to be the case, or is always the case, or at least most of the circumstances, let's put it this way, most of the circumstances you and I are in don't require us to treat our bodies this way. Yeah, if we were in a survival situation, or we were cast away on a lifeboat, or we were stuck in the Arctic and our supplies are running thin, we might have to make ourselves do something that we're pushing beyond limits because that's the only way we're going to survive, you know, gnawing off my foot that's been caught in a bear trap, so to speak, might have to do something extreme in opposition to some part of my nervous system that says, no, what you're doing is destructive. There are situations for that. And there might, hopefully not, but there might be situations in your life or my life where we have to be that extreme about hurting part of ourselves in order to save another part. But realistically, 99% of our life is really going to do better if we have a cooperative viewpoint regarding our connection between our body and our mind and our environment. And so I want us to think about that for a moment. When you're swimming, when you're training, when you get out of bed in the morning, when you are looking at how you prepare what the food or choosing the food on the menu, or whether you are going to exercise today or not, or whether you're going to do a harder swim or not, are you treating it, are you viewing it as like something you have to do, or you have to make your body do? And if so, why is that? What is it about part of you that doesn't want to do it, and why doesn't it want to do it? And sometimes we might see that instead of the body or the mind being reluctant or just being lazy or stupid, it's more like that part of us is saying, I really want to do this, but you're not listening to me. You're not listening to my wisdom. You're not listening to what I need, the process I need to go through in order to do that activity that you want to do. I want to do it too, but if you would just shut up and listen to me, I'll show you how I need to go about doing this. Does that make sense if I put that in terms like that? Because I look back at my own body when I was young, you know, in high school and early in college, and I was going hard. I've always liked to work hard. I like to go. Pain doesn't bother me emotionally. I feel it, but it doesn't bother me emotionally. And I was so, you know, charged up to go that I would ignore the pain, and it led to the injury in my shoulders, and then eventually an injury in my knee. And, you know, as now that I'm older, in my 40s, if I don't listen to these things, parts of my body are like, I'm shutting down. I'm not going to cooperate anymore because I haven't been listening, or I haven't been taking the subtle cues. So the thing is, if part of our body, if we view our body as saying all of it really does want to perform, all of it really does want to accomplish great and awesome things, and it does love to work. The body thrives when energy is flowing through it, but it needs to flow through it in a smooth, frictionless way where there's no collisions and conflicts inside the body. Likewise, in the mind, if we are training or living with values, but our behavior doesn't line up with those values, or some values seem to be in conflict with other values, then we're going to feel dissonance inside. We're going to feel conflict within ourselves. We're going to feel conflict inside the body. We're going to feel stress in those areas where there is preliminary conflict, initial conflict, and we're going to feel pain where there's heightened conflict, and then eventually we're going to have injury and disease where there is extreme or prolonged conflict inside the body. You know, and then likewise, let's pop outside of the body. Now we have the body and the mind doing something, and they're working inside of this heavy fluid, this water that's 780 times more dense than air. Or if we're running or cycling and we're running into a headwind or cycling into a headwind or riding up this hill and it's blowing and it's trying to slow us down, you know, we can rage against the natural forces. We can rage against that medium and think, oh, as if the water or the air or the gravity was vindictive and wanted to hurt us and stop us and thwart us. No, it's totally neutral. It just is what it is. And it's like looking at us like, I do what I do because of the natural forces and the way everything is flowing in physics. Do you want to fight with me or do you want to cooperate with me? And that's really the question that the environment around us is asking. Are you going to cooperate and adapt? Or are you going to resist? And are you going to resist adaptation? Are you going to fight in conflict? You're going to push and fight with me. But you know what? Nature is so infinitely more powerful than you and I. It's going to win. It's going to destroy us. It's going to have the last laugh when it watches our atoms disincorporating at the end of our life. So why should we set up an antagonistic relationship against the natural forces that we're operating in instead of learning how to work with gravity, instead of learning how to streamline the body so that air flows around us or water flows around us in a rather pleasing way, instead of, you know, pounding the air and chopping at it and grinding through the water like we're some bull in a china closet. So this whole different view of viewing the natural forces as something that, if I could personify it as well, personify those forces as if they're saying, we would love you to work with us. We would love to support you if only you will present yourself in a way that we can work with. So think about that. You know, when you're in the water, when you are out in a run and there's a headwind or there's rain or it's cold or it's hot, our bodies are, the human particularly, the human organism is made for adaptation. That is our superior trait. We can adapt to environments like nothing else can, except for maybe bacteria. We are marvelous in our ability to adapt, but it's the one thing that most humans resist most. They resist change. They resist adaptation to change, which is so funny, because it's the one thing that we're the best at that makes us the most marvelous creatures. So I want to encourage you to, you know, keep that competitive mindset in the pocket, because you need it occasionally. You might need it. But really work and ponder this cooperative attitude. And when you find resistance in yourself or in your environment, whether it's being reluctant to get out of bed in the morning, or your body doesn't feel so energetic for some reason, or you're considering what food to eat and you're feeling drawn to this but not drawn to that, ask yourself a question: what is it in me that's resisting? What in me is not in agreement with this, and why? Is there wisdom there behind it? Is there, or what's the environment telling me? If it's telling me no in this way, what's a different way it could be telling me yes? See, that's, right now I can think of sailing. You know, when boats a few hundred years ago, when all they could do was use sails to move, they had to cooperate with what nature gave them. The currents on the in the water, the wind blowing, the waves, the direction, they had to totally adapt and design boats to work with what the environment gave them. And they had to turn their sails and aim the boat in such a way, in the rudder, so that they could harness the wind and let it push them where they wanted to go, even if it wasn't pushing in the exact direction they wanted to go. And they had to cooperate. And I think that's such a beautiful analogy. But you know what? When ships change from sail to steam, the number per capita of shipwrecks shot up dramatically. Now, ships got more powerful and they got bigger and stronger, in a sense, were made out of steel. But Why were they wrecking more often? Because the captains thought that they didn't have to pay attention to the natural environment anymore. They could sail in any weather they wanted. They didn't have to care about the wind or the currents or the time of the year. And guess what? It wrecked more boats because they were arrogant and they were competitive and they were disdainful of the natural environment. So now we can think of those hundreds of athletes competing, those young athletes competing for top spots in the Olympics and the championships and stuff. And if you dig into the literature, you'll find out that most of them are injured. They're trying to get to the top of the podium, but they're doing it in a way that is in conflict with parts of their body. And if we read reports of how many athletes, young athletes, are burned out on the sport before they reach the top, they just give up and they don't want to compete anymore. They don't want to train anymore because it's so grueling. Well, they've been in conflict with a part of their mind and now they're injured because of it and they're hurting and they've lost their love of that activity. So I don't have a solution. I don't have a cooperative solution for those young people who want to make their millions or get to the podium in the Olympics or championships. But for you and I, the people listening to this, we're older than that, and we have other things to live for, and we need this body to keep functioning for decades and functioning well, and really learning to be cooperative with our own body, being cooperative inside of our own mind, being unified, and learning to be cooperative with the natural environment around us. This is really the pathway that's set up for our longevity. So I think you're already on that same page. And so I'm not really trying to convince you of something. I think you're already persuaded in that direction. I just wanted to lend some encouragement to you and just encouragement to myself that competition might be necessary and might be fun occasionally, but really our long-term approach to life and to athletics is going to do better if we are cooperative in our attitude. All right, bless you, and I will look forward to talking with you next time. Bye.